John chapter 21, stand with me together, please. Let's read beginning in verse 12. This is a well-known story, but I pray that it'll be a blessing tonight. Verse 12, Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. And now this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas. Now notice what he calls him Simon. If you remember back in Matthew 16, he said, Thou art Peter. Which means rock, which means his name wasn't really Peter. That was the name that God gave him. But now, Jesus is going back and calling him Simon. Son of Jonas, not son of God, not son of the Heavenly Father, son of your earthly... Jesus is making a point here, Simon. I'm talking to you as if you weren't even saved right now, because I've got a point to make. Pay attention. He says, Now, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again, the second time. Notice the same exact word. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time. I don't know how much time elapsed here. But Simon, son of Jonas, over again. Peter's thinking, Lord, I thought you changed my name to Peter. Why do you keep going back to my old life?
Yeah, right.
Lovest thou me? Peter was grieved. Because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Whew. And I don't know. The Spirit of God needs to give me some strength tonight. This is a hard message for me to preach because it's such a convicting thought. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Look in verse 15 again. When they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, son of Jonas, Lovest thou me more than these? I want to preach to you tonight a message that has just gripped my soul more than once. And the title is this, I love you more. I love you more. Lord, I can't do this, Lord. I pray for your help. Lord, please bless your people tonight. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Bind the devil. God, help us to listen on purpose. Lord, I know that there's things going on in our lives and we've had a day and we're thinking about tomorrow. Please, God. Set aside this time, sanctify this time in our hearts, in our minds, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. In my home at bedtime, when we tell each other good night and we tell each other, you know, I love you. Well, sometimes, once in a while, somebody will say, I love you more. I love you more. Oh, no, you don't. I love you this much. Well, I love you this much. I love you more. Well, I love you to the moon. Well, I love you to the moon and back. I love you more. Well, I love you infinity. I got you there. No, I love you infinity times infinity. Oh. Finally, you realize this is just a ploy to stay up. Go to bed. Good night. I love you more. How could you ever prove that, right? Anyway, Jesus had been resurrected. Here we know he's already appeared to his disciples twice. This is now the third appearance, the Bible tells us there in verse 14. And Peter and these other six disciples, there's seven of them all together, have been fishing all night. They caught nothing. I'm not going to go over the story because that's really not the point of the message. But Jesus calls to them the next morning and tells them, cast their nets on the right side of the boat. And they obey. It's always a good thing to do what God says. And they caught an abundance of fish, I mean, right away. Boom. It was the same boat. It was the same lake. It was the same fishermen. But now they were doing it at God's word.
That's right.
And they caught him. They caught an abundance of fish. They couldn't catch him. They needed help. And anyway, the net didn't break, but they were overcome with fish, and they came to the shore. And then when they got to the shore, Jesus had already made breakfast for them. He said, "Come and dine." And so he'd already made breakfast for them. Amen. This right here was the original men's prayer breakfast.
Amen. That's right.
Hallelujah. All right, so see, we didn't get that idea from out of the sky. It's in the Bible. And so they all ate. And quite frankly, I don't think, the Bible says in verse 12, that none of the disciples durst ask him, "Who art thou?" I don't think they said much anything. I mean, think about this. They knew where they just came from. They knew that they had failed to do anything right without Jesus. They knew that Jesus had proven to them once again that all they had to do was obey Him.
Yeah.
And so I feel like they were probably somewhat ashamed of themselves, so they didn't say much. They just kind of ate in silence. Probably not even looking at anybody. Probably embarrassed. But then after they got finished, after they'd all eaten, they'd all dined, in verse 15, good thing, right? Jesus let them finish their breakfast.
Right.
I mean, if you'll look for the grace of God in the Bible, you'll find it everywhere.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
What do I mean by that? I mean, if Jesus would have started this conversation before they finished breakfast, they would have never got to finish. And they were hungry. They'd been fishing all night.
Amen.
Do you see what I mean?
Yes.
Look for the grace of God. Look for the goodness of God.
Yeah.
And you'll see it everywhere. And he let them finish breakfast.
Yeah.
Hey, man, that's a good thing.
Man.
He let them finish breakfast. And then he begins to ask, at this point, Christ, in verse 15, asked Peter, "Lovest thou me more than these?" And then in verse 15, Jesus asked Peter, answers him, "What do you mean? I'm going to need you to go back there and check on that, please." Y'all just pay attention up here. Now, we don't know if Jesus was referring to the fish. He said, "Lovest thou me more than these," in verse 15. We don't know if he was referring to the fish, more than the fish, more than the other disciples, more than the night of fishing out there, and you know, the nights that they've been fishing for who knows how long. They remember, they were fishermen by trade. But Peter, in verse 15, the first time that Jesus asked him, thank you, Brother Josh, Peter just kind of almost just flippantly answers him, like, "Yeah, Lord," or like, "Yeah, Lord, you know I love you." Now, he wasn't real engaged. He wasn't real interested in what was going on. His heart was distant, and you can just almost hear it in his speech. But he said, "Yea, Lord, you know I love you." Now, I believe Peter, again, I think they were all a little bit embarrassed about the events of the night before, because they were not supposed to be fishing all night anymore. They were supposed to be fishing for men.
Amen, that's right.
Amen. They were supposed to be fishing for men. They were not supposed to be doing what they used to do. They were supposed to be doing what Jesus had now told them to do. That's why Jesus kept calling him Simon.
Yeah.
Simon. Simon. And what he's saying, Simon, I'm reminding you, I brought you out of Simon and I made you Peter. I brought you out of that old life and I've given you an assignment to fish for men. However, Peter wasn't doing it. I think he was a little bit ashamed, and he's probably telling Jesus, "Of course, you know I love you." You know, he's kind of, you know how it is when you're embarrassed.
Yeah.
You don't really want to. You're just kind of ashamed. But Peter was also tired. Remember, I mean, he'd been fishing all night. He's tired. He's weary. His heart was distant because he had gone away from Christ. But whatever reason it was, listen, Peter, this is what I want you to listen to me tonight. Peter didn't answer the question that was asked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Jesus said, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more?"
Yeah.
Amen. That word right there is a big word.
Yeah.
Lovest thou me more. Simon said, "Yeah, Lord, that knows I love thee." Wait a minute, that's not what I asked you, Lord. That's not what I asked you, Peter. Peter, I said, "Lovest thou me more?" The correct answer would have been, "Lord, thou knowest that I love thee more."
Yeah.
But he wasn't paying attention. Can I help us tonight, by God's grace, to understand that God's not interested in just our loving Him as much as He's interested in our love for Him being more than anything or anybody else.
Amen.
None of us, really, nobody that's saved, in my estimation, what I believe to be true, would say, "Oh yeah, I don't love the Lord." I believe those who are saved and they know they're saved, it's one thing, yeah. But what God wants from us, what God desires and I believe deserves from us, is I love you more.
Amen. That's right.
Are you understanding the difference there? I love you more. If our love for the Lord is not more than anything or anyone else, then Jesus is not in His rightful place in our hearts.
Right.
It's not that we're not saved. It's not that we don't love Him. But the Bible says in Psalm 52, verse 3, don't turn there, thou lovest evil more than good.
Yeah, that's right.
What does that mean? That means it's not that you don't love good. It's not that you don't love the Lord. It's not that you don't love Jesus, but you love something else more.
Yeah. Come on, preach it, brother.
More. I tell you what, when God gave me this thought, it just cut me to the bottom of my toes. I believe with all my heart that Peter loved the Lord.
Yeah.
But he didn't love Him more.
That's right.
Amen.
I'm sure the prodigal son loved his father. I'm sure he loved his mother. I'm sure he loved his brother. But he didn't love them more than his desire to live in sin.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm sure Demas loved Paul, the apostle. But he didn't love him more than this present world.
Right.
Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world.
Yeah.
I'm sure that Adam and Eve loved the Lord. But they didn't love Him more than their own logic and reasoning, trying to determine if that fruit was right for them. They didn't love Him more. I'm sure that all through their childhood years, Cain loved Abel. I don't doubt that.
Yeah.
But not more than his pride.
Right.
I'm sure David loved the Lord. I mean, the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart.
That's right.
But he didn't love him more than his lust for Bathsheba.
Yeah,
that's right.
I'm sure Solomon loved the Lord, but he didn't love him more than all those strange women that he allowed to steal his heart.
Sure.
I'm sure that Moses loved the Lord, but not more than his anger when he struck that rock.
Yeah.
I'm sure that Samson loved the Lord, but not more than Delilah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you listening to me tonight?
Yeah,
I'm sure Ananias and Sapphira, I'm sure they loved the Lord, but not more than their greed.
Right.
Yep.
I'm sure Noah loved the Lord. I mean, after all, he brought him through the flood.
Man, that's right.
He brought him through the flood. He saved his family. I'm sure Noah loved the Lord, but not more than his fermented alcoholic wine
right. When
he got drunk.
Yeah.
I'm sure Lot loved the Lord. I mean, God had blessed Lot, and he had seen Abraham, but he didn't love the Lord more than those well-watered plains of Sodom.
Yeah.
That's right. Amen.
I'm sure that Jonah loved the Lord. I mean, come on, he was a prophet of God. But not more than he loved, or hated, I should say, those Syrian Ninevites.
Yeah.
I'm sure that Eli, if you remember Eli, the priest in the temple there, I'm sure he loved the Lord. I mean, he was a priest in the temple for many years, but he let his children absolutely commit all kinds of heinous adultery and fornication. And listen to this. Listen, he let the light, the lamp of God, go out in the temple.
That's
He was never supposed to let that lamp go out. I'm sure he loved the Lord. I'm sure he would stand up before you and me and say, of course I love the Lord. But you don't love him more than your slothfulness in not fulfilling the duties that he's given you.
That's right. Amen.
You don't love him more than your slothfulness in letting your children commit adultery with the women of the temple. I'm sure those church members at Ephesus loved the Lord. But he was no longer their first love.
That's right.
I'm sure some of my church members love the Lord, but not more than their Sunday night TV.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Come on, amen.
Where are they?
Yeah.
Come on, amen. That's right.
Now you're starting to see the picture?
Yeah.
I'm sure some of my church members love the Lord, if not all of them, but they don't love them more than their bank accounts when it's time to tithe.
Yep. Come on, amen. Come on, preach. Amen. That's right.
It all boils down to this, church.
That's right.
Lovest thou me more? It's not easy to think about because every one of us needs to get on our face.
Amen.
Already.
Amen.
I'm sure many Christians love the Lord, but not more than their fear of man when it's time to witness.
Yeah. Amen.
What I want to look at tonight briefly with you for a few minutes is I want to look at the blessings of loving the Lord more. I want to take the time tonight, we're going to go to some other scripture here in a minute, but I want to take the time and I want to glorify God.
Amen.
Because when he says, lovest thou me more, he's trying to get us to a place where we can see his love for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you hear what I just said? Yeah. He was trying to get Peter to stop going away and get back where he needed to be so he could show him his love for Peter.
Yeah, man, that's right.
The blessings of loving the Lord supremely. Number one, quickly in verse 3 of this same chapter, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we go also with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. When we learn to say, Lord, I love you more than, number one, my former life.
Yeah.
That's right. Amen.
We'll begin to see the blessings.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely.
See, this was his old life.
Yep. That's right.
This was what he had always done.
Yep.
He'd always gone fishing.
That's right.
And in a time of crisis where he knew Christ was alive, he'd already seen him twice.
Yep. Right. Amen.
I mean, think about that. I can't understand that, but then again I can. But I don't know that I can. I can't hardly grasp that. I can't hardly comprehend that. Seeing a resurrected Savior,
yeah,
eyeball to eyeball, and then I'm just going to go back to my old life.
Yeah.
But it happens.
That's right.
So I've never seen him face to face. Oh, but you don't have to see him face to face. You've heard his voice.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
You've heard his voice.
Amen.
You've seen his working in your life, in your heart, in your family. And you've seen him work in our church. Amen. You've seen him save souls. But I don't have to see him face to face. I've heard him. I've seen him work. I know he's alive.
Yes.
Amen.
Just as much as Peter knew he's alive.
Yeah, that's right.
But do I love him more than my former life? Because after all, I mean, I used to do that, and I used to be that, and you know, I could just go back to that, and maybe things would get, you know, we'd say easier.
No.
Peter fished all night.
That's right.
And caught nothing.
That's right.
Yep.
He threw the net on the right side.
Amen.
I have a whole message I preached, living on the right side. Like, by the way, when you go to prison and you visit folks in prison, I'm on the right side of the glass. They're on the wrong side.
Yeah.
That's just one example. But, by the way, if you don't live on the right side, you'll find yourself, and I have to go be visiting you there, too. Peter said, my former life, you know, I'm more comfortable with that. I'm more comfortable Simon than I am Peter.
Yeah, right.
I'm more comfortable Simon than I am Peter. And see, what God was, or Jesus and God is the same person, amen? You understand when I use those terms synonymously? Notice, this included his job and, don't miss this, his friends.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
Because he was hanging out with his disciples. Look in verse 3, we also go with thee. See, his decision to return to his former life took other people with him.
Yeah. That's right. Amen.
And his old friends, instead of, listen, they were the disciples, we know that. We don't know who all they were. The Bible doesn't tell us who all they were. We know one of them was John. But we don't know who all it was, but the Bible's making a point here that if I have to love the Lord more than my former life, which includes my former friends, if my former friends decide they're going to go fishing, I'm going to love the Lord more.
Amen. That's right.
That's right.
Amen.
Peter was not a good influence on his former friends. He should have been drawing them. He should have been saying, come on guys, let's go fish for men. Let's go find some souls that need to be saved. Let's go talk to some people about Jesus. Let's go to church. Let's go pray together. Let's go read our Bibles. Let's get down to the, amen, to the old altar and pray and ask God to send revival to our city. Instead, they're going back to the former life.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Jesus wasn't trying to do anything but tell them, look, you've been saved now.
Yeah, amen. Amen. That's right.
Look in Luke 22. Luke 22. That former life, by the way, you need to burn the bridges.
That's right.
I'm telling you what, you need to burn the bridges.
Amen.
Luke 22, verse 31. The Lord said, Simon, Simon. Notice he called him Simon there again. Behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Listen, right there, God is telling Peter, listen, I have a full-time ministry for you.
Yeah.
I have put you in the ministry, Peter. I want you to strengthen thy brethren. But here on the seaside, when he shows up there, Jesus shows up the seaside with Peter, and he sees Peter out there in the boat, fishing all night. Nobody's ever going to get saved when you go fishing.
That's right.
That's right. Amen.
The disciples he was with were already saved. I guess. But when he shows up out there, he says, Peter. He doesn't call him Peter. He says, Simon.
Yeah.
What's he doing? He's reminding him of this right here.
Right.
Simon, I already told you, I want you to preach for me. I want you to live for me. I want you to give yourself to me. Simon, the problem is this. Lovest thou me more?
That's right. Amen.
And Peter didn't even say, I love you more.
Yeah.
He said, I know, you know I love you, Lord. Jesus said, hey, that's not what I asked you.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
I said, lovest thou me more than your former life. Because I've called you out of that life to preach the gospel. I've called you out of that life to teach a Sunday school class. I've called you out of that life to work a bus route, build a Sunday school class. I've called you out of that old life to serve me. The blessings, now listen, the blessings, I said, of loving the Lord more than anything else, is when Peter, by that seaside that day, that morning, early morning, you know what he did? He finally got and understood the perfect will of God.
Yeah,
that's right.
Amen.
Go back over there with me to John 21 again. Let me show you what I'm talking about. God's perfect will for Peter. Peter finally understood it. Look, now I'm not going to read it all for sake of time, but Jesus said, feed my lambs. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Verse 16, verse 17, feed my sheep. What he's telling him is that, Peter, I have a perfect will for you. I have a perfect plan for you. I have a perfect job for you. I want you to go and preach the gospel to my sheep.
Yes.
I want you to go and feed the flock that I have given you,
yes,
the Word of God.
Amen.
I want you to... But that was the perfect will of God for Peter. It was not fishing.
Right.
Right, amen.
God is still calling preachers.
That's right.
Right. Amen.
Yeah.
Hey.
God is still calling Sunday school teachers.
Right.
Listen, we have too many kids in Alyssa, my daughter's class.
Yeah.
That's right. Amen.
We have too many adults in my class.
Yeah. Amen.
God is trying to raise up some teachers.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
But the question is not, well, I can't. No, the question is, do you love me more?
Yeah.
Amen. That's right. Come on. Amen. That's right.
Do you love me more?
That's right.
Because when you get to the point where you say, Lord, I love you more, you'll see the blessings of finding the perfect will of God. And later on, Peter preached the gospel like God told him to, like it was his will. 3,000 got saved. 5,000 got saved. Multitudes got saved. Why? Because he was in the perfect will of God. Otherwise, he was out here fishing all night and not even catching one little fish. Now, listen, the comparison is pretty simple to me. I want to live in the will of God.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'm not going to find the perfect will of God until I love God more.
Yeah, that's right.
God, I believe God's calling young men in this church still to do more for God.
Amen. That's right.
But they love something else.
Yeah, come on. Amen. That's right. Preach.
I'm telling you what, when you find the perfect will of God, you have found all the blessings of God.
Amen. That's right.
Did you hear what I said?
Amen.
The perfect will of God is where you find all the blessings of God. There is nothing like, there's nothing better, there's no better place to live than in the perfect dead center of God's will.
Right.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
I love you more than my former life.
Yes. Yeah.
My former friends.
Yeah.
I'll serve you, Lord. I'll do whatever you want me to do.
Amen.
And then you'll find His perfect will.
Amen.
Secondly, turn to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. We're going to go to the Old Testament now, because the question is always, from the beginning of time, Adam, Eve, lovest thou me more? So the Old Testament saints, they had just the same heart problems we do. And we're going to see some of them, but we're also going to see, like I said, what happens when we decide to love the Lord more. Daniel chapter 3, verse 23. These three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and arose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said in verse 25, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the former, the fourth, is like the Son of God. Hallelujah. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth, come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. The princes, governors, captains, kings, counselors, being gathered together, saw all these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power. No power.
Yeah.
Nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed. They didn't even smell like smoke.
Amen.
Why? Because they said, Lord, I love you more.
Yes.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Than these false gods of this life. Nebuchadnezzar had set up a great image. I'm not going to read the whole story. I'm just trying to get to the point. And he said, now everybody, from all provinces, all regions, everybody come into this valley here. Great multitude of people. Highly important people. Men of renown, authority, leadership. They were there. And he said, it sounded you at the time you hear the sound of the music, bow down to this image. Every single one of them bowed down except for three.
Right.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then the king Nebuchadnezzar called them to him. He said, what is wrong with you? I said, bow down. And they said, Nebuchadnezzar, we love the Lord more than your false gods.
That's right. Amen.
Now, I know none of us are going to go be Muslims or anything. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the idols of this life.
Yeah.
The idols that so many Christians are still worshiping.
Sure. Come on, come on, preach it, brother.
The things that control the average Christian's life have nothing to do with God.
Yeah. That's right.
And see, when I decide that I love the Lord more than the false gods of this world, the money and the pleasure and all of the things that go along with it, when I decide I love the Lord more than the false gods of this world, because they're always going to be placed there in your face. And listen, but not only do they decided we love the Lord more than your false god, but listen now, they also had to decide I love the Lord more than following the crowd.
Right.
That whole valley, at the sound of that music, and there was three men standing there.
Amen.
I don't know if they were all side by side. I sure hope they were. That made it a little bit easier. But if they were all spread across the valley.
Amen, brother.
I have an imagination. It's okay.
Amen, brother.
But they said, I'm not bowing down to that false god, and I don't care if the whole world does.
Amen.
See, that's even harder sometimes.
Right.
Because everybody's bowing down to things that aren't of God.
Right.
Churches are giving up their King James Bibles.
Yeah.
Churches are giving up their godly standards. Churches are giving up their preaching. They're replacing it with teaching and storytelling. Churches are giving up their music and they're replacing it with rock bands.
Hey.
And it's pressure, it's pressure, it's pressure.
Oh.
But listen to me tonight. I love the Lord more.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. That's right.
If it was right then, it's right now.
That's right.
And I'm not bowing down.
Amen.
That's right.
I love the Lord more than the false gods of this world. I mean, that image that he made, oh, it was pure gold. It was worth millions of dollars. So what? I'm talking about God in heaven.
Amen.
If we would learn to love the things that are eternal,
yeah, that's right.
And stop living for the things that are temporal,
right.
We would understand what I'm talking about.
Amen. That's right.
The eternal souls of man, our own eternal souls, our judgment day of when we're standing before God and before Jesus Christ answering for the things that we've done in this body, listen, those things are eternal.
Amen.
Right,
that's right.
Right. Amen.
And they decided, listen, they I am not following this crowd.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Call me what you want to call me.
Amen.
Say what you want to say. Post it all over Facebook. I'm not bowing down to this false junk today.
Amen. That's right.
Wow. Listen, you're not going to stand there if you don't listen to what I'm saying.
That's right.
You're not going to stand if you don't love the Lord more.
That's right.
You're going to go with everybody else.
That's right.
Amen.
Because that whole valley was just...
Yep, that's right.
These were the leaders. These were the leaders. I don't care what our government does. I love the Lord more.
Amen.
Amen. I don't care what every other church is doing. I don't care how many people they have in their services. I love the Lord more.
Amen.
Amen.
And you know what the blessings are of that? When you decide you love the Lord more than the false gods of this world and following the pressure of the crowd, here's the blessings. Remember I talked about the blessings. You'll see the miraculous protection.
Yeah.
of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
They didn't even smell like smoke. God protects you. You, listen, you are immortal until God is done with you.
That's right.
I mean, they stoned Paul. They left him for dead outside the city. I think it was Lystra, if I remember correctly. And they thought he was dead. I mean, they had stoned lots of people before. They knew what it meant to be dead. And they left him for dead. I believe he probably was dead. But God raised him back to life. Amen. Why? Because he wasn't done with them yet.
Amen.
That's supernatural protection right there.
Amen.
Amen.
You know why? Because Paul said, Lord, I love you more, and I'm going to preach the gospel whether they stone me or whether they smile, whether they spit on me or whether they love me. I'm going to preach the gospel because I love you more.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
And he saw the miraculous protection. You know, you don't have to fear.
That's right.
Everybody else is doing it, preacher. You know what? That usually makes me nervous.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If everybody else is doing it, beware.
That's it, right?
Everybody else is doing it. Everybody else is going that direction. Well, then you know what that means? I'm probably not going to.
You am.
You say, well, I'm just going to stay as far away from it as I can. Why? Because I love the Lord more.
Yeah. Amen. That's right. Yeah.
You'll see His hand of protection.
Amen.
You said, preacher, you can't build a church on that old-fashioned preaching and that old hard fire, hellfire, brimstone preaching. I beg to differ with you, my friend. You can't build a church without it.
Amen. Amen.
A real
Amen.
Church.
Amen. That's right.
God will protect you.
Amen.
Amen.
And He has.
That's right.
Amen. And He has. Here we sit today again. Five, going on 6 years later.
Amen.
Why? Because God protects those who say, I love you more, Lord.
Amen. Amen, that's right.
Protect you.
Hey.
You don't have to fall down to the false gods. I don't care what the crowd's doing.
Yeah. Right.
Just get something in your heart tonight, men. Get something in your heart tonight, ladies. I love you more, God. I love you more.
Amen. Hey.
This whole world, you're going to do this. Why don't you come to my church?
Yeah. Okay.
Let's go to my church.
Amen.
Well, I don't want to go to your church.
Amen.
I've got a church.
Amen.
But your church is so... They're so... What's the word? No, there's no word. It's my church.
Amen.
It's my Lord. It's my Savior.
Amen.
He's my God. And I love Him more.
Amen.
I'm not going to go follow your false gods.
Amen.
I'm not going to go bow down to your pressure just because everybody else is doing it. I love the Lord more.
Amen.
Can I tell you something, young people? Look up here. If you don't get this in your heart quick,
yeah, that's right.
You're going to be bowing down to the false gods.
That's right. Amen. Come on.
As soon as you get a chance.
Yep. Amen. Preach. That's right.
You've got to listen to me. I've seen it over and over and over and over.
Right.
You've got to get this in your heart. You either love the Lord more or you don't.
Yeah,
that's right. Amen.
And you know if you do or you don't.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
I love the Lord more than the false gods. In Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they saw the supernatural protection of God. Peter saw the perfect will of God because he said, I love you more. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, I love you more than the false gods, than the following the crowd. And here they saw the protection of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. Verse 36. Another great man who decided he loved the Lord more. Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 18. Verse 36. It came to pass, 18:36, it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God, and that Thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell, and consumed the burnt offering, and the wood, and the stones, the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." And Elijah said unto them, notice this, "Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape." And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them. Elijah had to come to a place in his life where he said, "Lord, I love you more than the fear of man." Now, everything in his body knew. All of Israel was up there on Mount Carmel that day, including Ahab, the most wicked king Israel, Jerusalem had ever had. The most wicked king married to the most wicked woman, Jezebel. And these prophets were Jezebel's prophets. They belonged to her. They ate at her table. And he stood up there on that mount. He had one little servant with him, but it was him and God. There was 450 prophets, plus another 400 prophets. There's 800, not to mention all of Jerusalem, those that come up there that day. And he said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If God be God, then serve Him. And if Baal be God, then serve Him. But just stop wishy-washy and get off the fence and choose ye sides today. Stop being lukewarm."
That's right.
You know what he was saying? He was saying, "You know what? I don't know about you." Kind of like what Joshua said. "But I love the Lord more." Now, he wasn't the majority. Physically speaking. But he was on God's side. And he came to a place in his heart. Listen, he had already been beside the brook, eating from the ravens. The brook had dried up. "What now, God?" He had already gone to Ahab and said, "Ahab, it's not going to rain until I say so." Then God said, "Get out of there, quick, go." He's not happy. So he went down to the brook, and he began to drink from the brook and eat from the raven's mouth. Now, I've heard preachers say, "Well, you know, I believe God, they probably brought him T-bone steaks and baked potatoes." No, I believe they brought him morsels. Why do you say that? Because I believe that a raven can only hold so much. But I believe God was dealing with Elijah, getting him to a place where he had to understand, "I love you more." The brook dried up. "Oh, Lord, now what? The ravens are gone. Lord, now what?" Okay, now I want you to get you down to Zarephath. I have a widow there. I have prepared a widow there, and she will sustain thee there. A widow. Now remember, this is a famine. It hadn't rained. There was very little water, very little food. Everybody was hoarding it. It was a very hard time of trials. And he got down to the widow. The widow fed him. They ate. God blessed the widow because she obeyed God. But all of this, I believe all along, God is working in Elijah's heart, bringing him to a place through these different trials and these different tests, bringing him to a place where he knew, you've got to go to Mount Carmel and you need to be ready. Because you're going to have to get to a place, Elijah, where you love me more.
That's right.
See, he knew what was in Elijah's future.
That's right.
Just like he knows what's in yours.
That's right.
He knows what's in yours. And whatever you're going through today is more than likely God preparing you for whatever's in tomorrow. Because you're going to need to love the Lord more.
Amen.
Because the trials of our faith many times are only steps of faith to get us to a place where we can become more grounded and rooted and solid and realize, Lord, I love you more. Come hell or hot water, sink or swim, live or die, I love you more.
Amen.
You can take my life, you can take my comforts, you can take my money, but listen, I'm not going to turn my back on Jesus.
Amen.
But you don't get that way just the day you get saved. Well, you're glad you're saved. Hey, man, but you know what? Here comes Joe Bimbobby calls and, you know, oh, yeah, well, let's go out party. Oh, well, yeah. Well, I just got saved. But maybe, but it takes time. It's a process of growth. And God's growing Elijah to the place where he'll get up on Mount Carmel and he'll say, okay, I've had enough of this. You quit halting between God and Baal. And he says, okay, you take that altar over there and you cry out to your gods and you see what they do there. And all day long, they played the fool.
Man. Yeah. Right.
And he stood there. And he said, oh, how I love Jesus.
Amen, yeah.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Yeah. Where's your God? How you doing? Okay, hurry up, because it's about time for that evening sacrifice. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
He wasn't worried.
No.
Right.
He wasn't afraid of Ahab. Or Jezebel. Now, at that point in time, his heart was filled with love for God. And here's the blessings. Number one, he saw the power of God. I mean, he saw the power of God. Now, I don't know about you, but every time somebody walks this old-fashioned aisle and says, I need to be saved, that's the power of my God.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Hey.
You think that happens in every church?
No.
No. Negative. Negative. Every time you go out and knock on a door and you take out the old-fashioned King James Bible and you open up the plan of salvation to somebody and they bow their head right there on their doorstep and they say, oh God, I know I deserve to go to hell, but I believe Jesus died for me. Please save me today. I accept Christ as my personal Savior. That's the power of my God! What? Where'd it come from? Well, if you're afraid of man, you ain't going to do it. If you're afraid of man, you surely ain't going to preach like this.
That's right.
Elijah was, he was mocking those prophets all day long. Not my style necessarily. But I do think there's a bunch of fools out there.
Oh yeah.
He said, I'm going to love my Lord more. The first thing he saw was the power of God.
Amen.
You know what you need more than anything else, dear friend? You need the power of God.
Amen.
If we're going to go start a church in Little Elm, we need the power of God. If you're going to get those people saved that you pray for every day, you need the power of God.
Amen.
And on that note, you know what the second thing he saw was? Answered prayer. That power of God was an answer to his prayer.
Yeah.
He prayed 63 words in prayer. He didn't pray a long, drawn-out, 24-hour prayer chain. He just prayed 63 words. Now, so what does that mean? The significance of that is this, that he had a prayer life.
Yes.
Okay? And he had a communication. He was in touch with God. And he, notice what he says here. He says, Lord, I pray that you'll do this. So look in verse 36 at the end. I have done all these things at thy word. When I decide I love you, Lord, I love you more than anything else. I love you more than the fear of man. I'm going to take God's word and I'm going to do what he says. And I'm not going to care what the consequences are. I'm not going to care what the results are because I love him more.
That's right. Amen.
Are y'all listening to me tonight?
I like
the fact that God answers prayer.
Amen.
I like the fact that God answers prayer. I like to see the power of God in answer to prayer, but listen to me, I'm telling you, God's waiting for us to say, Lord, I love you more.
Amen.
I mean, some of you are praying for things that are out of your control. This was completely out of Elijah's control. He couldn't control that fire. He couldn't control that lightning from heaven. And he was completely at God's mercy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever felt that way? Every day, preacher, amen. That's exactly where God wants you to be, because He wants you to come to a place where you say, I love you more, Lord. I don't know what you're going to do here. I don't know what you're going to do here. I don't know how you're going to answer this, but I know you have the power. I know you have the ability. I know you can, God, and I'm going to love you all the way through this.
That's right.
I'm not going to turn to the right hand or the left. This is my right. This is my left. I'm going to remove my foot from evil. I'm going to keep my eyes focused. I'm going to lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. I'm going to stay focused right there, because I know no matter what that He has the power. And if I just keep praying, I keep loving Him more, I'll see that power sooner or later.
Amen. That's right.
I don't care what man says. I don't care what the king himself, the most wicked, and his Jezebel wife. I don't care.
Amen. That's right.
The blessings. I love you more, Lord. Power of God. Answered prayer. Finally, Genesis 22. I love you more. Genesis 22. It's all been easy up till now. It's all been shouting hallelujah up till now. Genesis 22. Boy, it's a blessing to see the perfect will of God and get in it. It's a blessing to see the miraculous protection of God. It's a blessing to have the power of God on my life and answer to prayer. But here we see the last thing, the last blessing I want to talk about. Genesis 22, verse 1. We were just here not long ago. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. He said, take now thy son, thine only son, notice, whom thou lovest, get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. Why? Because he loved God more. Here's what I want to say about this last thing here. We're going to have to come to a place. God deserves that we come to a place in our lives where we say, God, I love you more than my own family.
That's right. Amen. That's right. Amen. That's right.
I know that's not going to make some of you happy. God didn't say you have to hate your family. He said, love me more. What God wants your family to see is a sold out, devoted Christian who loves God more. And when a man's ways please the Lord, sooner or later, He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now you say, preacher, my family's not my enemy. No, but they're not necessarily outwardly your enemy. Some of us have family members who are outwardly trying to destroy us.
Amen.
Sure. Openly.
Yes, sir.
I can't speak for you, but I can speak for myself. And I'm here to tell you tonight that I love the Lord more.
Amen. Amen.
I want them to get saved. I want them to get right. I want them to get fixed. I want them to get their heart right. I want them to surrender. I want them to stop fighting God's will. But listen, I love the Lord more.
Yeah.
And if it comes down to me having to choose between them and God,
amen.
Amen.
Ooh, that's bittersweet. They came to Jesus one day and they said, Master, what is the greatest commandment? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart.
That's right. Amen.
All means all.
That's right.
Well, preacher, you don't understand. My mama, my daddy, my brother, my sister, my uncle. No, I do understand. If anybody understands, I understand.
Man.
I also understand how difficult it is what I'm preaching right now, and why God has done this, I don't know, but this is His message. And He told Abraham, "Abraham, I know you love that family of yours, but do you love me more?"
Yeah, that's right.
Now, some of you are getting real tight on me. I don't want you to get tight. I want you to listen to me. God doesn't say, "I want you to hate them." God doesn't say, "I want you to just kill them." He told Abraham to do that, though, didn't He? What was He doing? He was telling Abraham, He was teaching Abraham. Listen, Abraham, you should be willing to do anything I say, no matter what.
Yeah.
Really, God? Lovest thou me more?
Amen.
Oh, see, that's extreme, preacher. I didn't put it in the book. God did. We're talking about finding the perfect will of God. We're talking about living in the supernatural protection of God, having the power of God, answers to prayer. And listen, here, in this last bit of message tonight, the blessings of loving God even more than my own family, you know what God did? God provided for Abraham.
That's right.
Supernaturally, that ram was caught in the thicket right at the right time. God provided. Jehovah Jireh.
Amen.
That's right.
All of these blessings, we're looking at God doing supernatural, miraculous things in our lives. And listen, God's still in the business of doing miracles for His children. Don't tell me that God's dead. He's not dead. He still has all the power He ever had. But He's waiting for us to say, "Okay, God, I love you more."
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I love you more. I love you more than my own family. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. That was supernatural, miraculous provision, providing Abraham's need. But Abraham had to prove to God, "Lord, I love you more than my own son." Let me ask you this. If God took away a family member, what do you do?
Amen. Right.
Lord, I love you more.
Amen.
Lord, I love you more. So, preacher, I hope that never happens to me. I do too. Because it hurts. But I love the Lord. And they're in His hands.
Amen.
Well, I've got this mama, I've got this daddy, I've got this sister, brother, cousin, uncle, and he just keeps on and on and on. Listen, you know what you need to do tonight? You need to listen to God.
Yeah.
And you need to realize, God, I love you more.
Amen.
I love you more. Satan's not really concerned about you loving him. He doesn't really expect you to love him. He just doesn't want you to love the Lord more than something else. Because then, sooner or later, you're going to come to your limit and quit.
Yep, that's right.
Somebody once said, every man has his price. Every man, in other words, can be bought for a price. Not if you'll listen to what I'm preaching tonight.
Amen. That's right, brother. Come on.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Lord, my own family. Hey, I didn't say go try to get rid of them.
Yeah.
I didn't say go try to kick them to the curb. No, I said love the Lord more.
Yeah,
right. I didn't say it. God said it.
Right.
Lovest thou me more?
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
More? Lord, if you want me to preach,
yeah, amen.
I love you more.
Amen.
Lord, if you want me to go to the mission field, I love you more.
Amen. That's right.
Lord, if you want me to tithe,
amen. Come on.
I love you more.
Amen.
Lord, if you want me to witness for you, I love you more.
Thank God.
Lord, if you want me to be more faithful in my prayer life, I love you more.
Amen.
Lord, if you want me to read my Bible like I should, I love you more.
Amen.
It all boils down to this.
Right.
Who or what do you love more?
Yeah.
That's right. My God, I love thee, not because I hope for heaven thereby, nor yet because who love thee not are lost eternally. Thou, O my Jesus, thou didst me upon the cross embrace. For me didst bear the nails and spear and manifold disgrace, and griefs and torments numberless, and sweat of agony. Yea, death itself, and all for me, who was thine enemy. Then why, O blessed Jesus Christ, should I not love thee more? Not for the sake of winning heaven, nor of escaping hell, not from the hope of gaining aught, nor seeking a reward, but as thou hast loved me, O ever-loving Lord, so would I love thee more. And in thy praise will sing, solely because thou art my God and my most loving King. Lord, I love you more. Father, that's the message tonight.